Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
Get the Sports Hub. Get Toucher and Rich. Download the Sports Hub app today.
.985 The Sports Hub. We were at Toucher and Rich. Our Toucher and Rich. And if you missed it, Rich, which you probably did, we had Hardy talk to Felger, and we played it here on the air, and Felger was explaining that he does not take his shirt off during Pearl Jam shows.
Okay.
He has a friend who is an Olympic...
I want to say diver.
No, he's a diver.
Yeah.
But an Olympic-caliber diver who's got a rockin' bod.
Yeah.
So he takes his shirt off.
There's a difference between an Olympic diver and an Olympic-caliber diver. Did you just say, listen... I'm good enough to be in the Olympics, but I'm not?
No, he was, like, you know, good enough to, like, sniff around.
Oh, okay, all right. And so he takes off his shirt. Well, listen, I guess I would, too, if I had a bod rocking.
Let me play you just a clip of him saying.
Okay.
The people who said you had your shirt off, you were seen with a male friend dancing shirtless. This would be your one opportunity to confirm or deny this. Maybe the shirt was open. Maybe you took it off for just a second. So first, let's address the shirtless portion of this. Go ahead.
I deny it categorically, and there's no evidence that exists because there is no evidence to be had. My friend definitely had his shirt off. And my friend, I might say, well, I think I've mentioned this before, he's a former Olympic class diver. He qualified for the Olympic trials a couple of times and went to a couple of Olympic trials. So he is a legit actual diver with a legit actual physique, and he can't help himself but take his shirt off. And if I look like he did, I might do the same. And so I can see why people could cast aspersions or get the wrong idea or just think that I'm taking my shirt off and dancing at a Pearl Jam concert, but I'm not. Shirt never comes off.
All right. Okay. So in order to take your shirt off, the rules are you got to be pretty – you got to have a smoking bod.
Right. You got to have a rocking bod, which, listen, I mean, if I had a bod like that, Olympic caliber, then maybe I would do the same thing. By the way, someone else reminded me. I mean, it really – as I said, the show was great, but it did seem like every – break between any kind of music he would do this kind of pandering thing, and I forgot, someone reminded me, he goes, yeah, you know, so good to be back here at Fenway, and listen, something tells me that we're going to be back here in late October.
Oh, hey!
You know what that means?
Yeah, baby!
That means World Series time! Pearl Jam loves baseball! Let's play two!
I have a feeling the local nine are in it to win it. So Nick met someone outside.
So Nick went to the show last night, and he went. And it was not only outside; he went inside as well. And Nick, if you can remember any more sweaty vetter panderisms, I would love to. Cause, I mean, it was like every. I was just looking at my wife; we were just like dying laughing. Like, okay, what's he going to reference? We're like playing pander bingo. When he brought out Euclid, which I was just phenomenal. Oh, we have someone on the phone?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go.
Alan, go ahead.
Hey, what's going on? I was there on Sunday night, and he did what I think he thought was hilarious with, like, a five-minute stand-up bit with pages in front of him on the F-bombs, multiple variations. Like, he thought he was George Carlin. It was like, all right. Get on with the freaking show.
So he, wait a second.
He did a comedy bit?
He had, like, written out a comedy segment and sat up there and did it?
Yeah, like, he busted through a song, then he threw out the F-bomb, whole crowd, yay, oh my God, he swore. Then he turns around and he's like, isn't that word funny? And I'm like, ah, here we go.
How about airplane food, huh?
Like, he's got his monitors in front of him, and he's got, like, a flipbook of paperwork. And he picks it up, and he starts reading all the different versions of how you can use F. And I'm like, Carlin did this in the 70s. What are we sitting here?
Well, listen, maybe he was...
On with the song.
It was his tribute. It was his tribute to the great George
if
Carlin.
If you cheer every time I say the Green Monster, you might be a redneck.
Rick, go ahead, sir.
Oh, so I was there last night with my wife, and you remember when he was trying to get the crowd going. He goes, you know, you guys are a great crowd, but we were just in Philadelphia.
Oh.
And the crowd was wild. Yeah, then he goes, what about New York City? And, you know, but we didn't do as well as we could.
He's playing cities off against each other.
He knows that there is a rivalry between Boston and New York.
That's right.
I don't quite know where Philly.
Well, you know, it's because the Super
Patriots
Bowl.
Patriots and Eagles.
Yeah.
It didn't occur to me right away.
It's a different ball.
Alex, go ahead.
I completely agree with Rich. Pearl Jam sounded great, and Eddie was out of his mind. And the weirdest thing about Pearl Jam fans is they just will laugh at everything he says. It doesn't matter how weird or not funny it is. I'm there with my twin brother, and he's literally just cackling over that same George Carlin bit that guy was just talking about. And it went on for 10 minutes, and it was absolutely terrible. I don't know what meds Eddie's taking. I'm glad to see he's happy, but the first couple times I saw Pearl Jam in the 2000s, Bush was president. There was protests. People were walking out angry. They were screaming at everybody. It was awesome. And last night, everybody was so happy and go lucky. It was just, it was brutal to see, but they did sound great.
Thanks. See, it's the passage of time. And
so people... what's it called? The Aristocrats.
Yeah. His family comes in. It's father, mother, and their two kids.
It's called the Aristocrats, you see?
Yeah.
You got it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm going to do some Hedberg stuff. Howard, how can an escalator break? It just becomes stairs. Howard, go ahead.
I just want to defend Pearl Jam fans and Eddie Vedder because I was there last night, and I was bummed out that they came on at 8 o'clock. They usually come on a lot earlier and play a little longer. But they played 30 songs. The first 17, he hardly said anything. They just went from song to song to song. They jammed, and he said a couple of funny things and some stuff that you couldn't understand, but I'll tell you what, it wasn't a lot of pandering compared to other shows that I've seen with Eddie and Pearl Jam. So I got to tell you, they jammed it because they only had a certain amount of time.
Well, okay, what was the worst pandering you've heard him do?
I thought I heard him say something about we're going to get David Ortiz and somebody out here and boom and stay on all night or something like that. I couldn't understand it. But everything else was more, I think, legit. He didn't do any stand-up or anything like that.
All right, so you were not at the stand-up show.
Okay. I wasn't. I was there last night, and I thought, they just jammed. I mean, you know, they only had till 10:30. The stupid Fenway makes them get off.
I want to thank John Henry and Sam Kennedy for letting me use the private bathroom so I could take a giant walrus-sized dump. Appreciate it. There's another name I just dropped. Baseball. Let's play two. Here's Jeremy.
Richie, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Love the show. Listen all day, every day. Hey, Rich, let me ask you. At any time, did Eddie Vedder forget the lyrics to one of the songs? Because every time I've seen Pearl Jam, which is a lot, he always screws up the lyrics to at least one song.
Yeah, he did, but that's kind of part of it. I mean, once again, the music side of it was phenomenal. I have no problem with it.
And if you're playing 30 songs.
Yeah, and he sounded great. That's the other thing. His voice was perfect, and that's just kind of what he does. He mumbles and he forgets some stuff, and that's fine. But, I mean, that part of it, it's just, it was between every single song. It was just something about... It's the equivalent of Paul Stanley saying, I heard Boston likes to party.
Well, Paul Stanley just says the same thing in every market.
Right. He sometimes gets the city wrong.
The best Paul Stanley is, he's like, everyone's hot out there. Yep. Would everyone like a little taste of tequila? Like, yes, I'm dying of thirst. Could you please hand me some tequila?
So he won't even choke.
Yeah, so I can dehydrate myself even more. I know very little about alcohol. My friend and I, the friend I'm going to Detroit with, always, like once a year, we marvel that he said that. Everyone's hot out there. Anyone like the taste of tequila? No, not when it's 90, stupid.
I saw him one time in Texas, and he goes, you know, I heard that in Texas. And you're thinking, oh, okay, things are bigger in Texas.
Right.
You know, all these things.
Girls are prettier.
Right.
Yeah.
He goes, I heard that in Texas, people like to visit each other. Mm-hmm. And there was, like, no explanation.
Was that before he went in the crowd?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And he goes, so... yell real loud, and if this thing goes into the red, I'm coming to see you. And you're like, that was the worst set. What does Texas have to do with any of this?
Yeah, he was kind of giving up at that point.
No, he just kind of stopped and did that. I do need to hear one last thing. Patrick says he's got an explanation of the Hawaiian Little League shout-out last night, okay, which was very just out of nowhere.
All right, Patrick, go ahead, sir.
Hi, to answer your question, the worst shout-out was, without a doubt, Dirty Water. That was a gut punch. Someone needs to have the heart to tell them that song is terrible. And the Hawaiian Little League thing, the Boone Gasper, the guy who plays organs, is from Hawaii, and that's why I mentioned that. Okay. And then also, they did a song that was not by The Clash, but it was by Joe Strummer. It's called Arms Aloft, and they changed the chorus to Fenway Park.
And that's exactly what you want to do to a Strummer song, because he put no thought into his lyrics at all. You have one of the great lyricists of all time, and let's go take a dump on his legacy.
For some reason, I must have been the can in that one.
But the show was really good.
The show was great.
Okay.
Like, I mean, they're excellent live. But as a matter of fact, it's like it's getting to the point where it's almost like seeing a Kiss show, where you go almost as much just to hear Eddie Vedder, just to play bingo, like pandering bingo.
And it was saying, you got a lot of people calling in with little things. Oh, but the show was fantastic.
I mean,
he forgets the lyrics, but the music was great.
By the way, that guy's right. When they did Dirty Water, I thought there were two guys dancing in front of me that were going to get each other pregnant. Like, oh, I know this one. This is when the Sox win. And they just
But the show was outstanding.
The show was great.
Okay.
By the way,
Dirty Water is worse than Sweet Caroline.
No.
If you had heard them both for the first time. No, not as a statement at the games. But
as a song?
Yes.
Oh, Standing Alone? Yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah.
Sweet Caroline's kind of a catchy song.
Right.
It's just I hate everything that it means and stands
for now. But I'm saying that in a vacuum of having nothing to do with anything else,
yes,
Dirty Water is an exceptionally bad song.
I don't think it's that great of a song. I think that Sweet Caroline is a well-written song.
Well, it's Neil Diamond, so, I mean, you know. Sure. He writes those. All right, we'll find out what Nick found out coming up in just a moment.
98.5 Sports Hub.
At 5, the Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Pearl Jam played, I guess, Sunday and Tuesday.
Yeah, I guess someone was telling me that they never play two nights in a row. They don't like to do that anymore.
Okay. All right. Nick was out there, and he wanted to talk to the fans.
Mm-hmm.
So here is Nick.
This was a night that, remember, I was saying on the air that, by the way, much respect to whoever, I don't know, unclogged the cell lines over at Fenway Park, because I ran into probably, no exaggeration, a half dozen people who are also drafting their fantasy team last night, like six or seven people. Because it's like, you were at the concert last night too, Nick? Because Tuesday night before the season starts is probably the number one night for drafting. So I saw a bunch of people with their phones out. Everyone does it around like 7:30, 8 o'clock. And I, six or seven people I saw last night doing it. And I had no problem on the phone getting it done last night. So, and I know I got crap from the real true the Pearl Jam fan who called in and said I wasn't a real fan because I wasn't going to be paying attention yesterday and drafting my team. But there, it worked out just fine for everybody. How about you, Nick? Everything good? Yeah, so it worked out fine.
All right, so Nick was at Pearl Jam and he talked to the people.
Can we use this for the radio?
Absolutely.
What's your name?
Tyler, man. Tyler. Rolling out 9 a.m. from Connecticut, man.
Oh, really cool. How have you been killing the time?
Killing brews, smoking weed, getting ready, man, you know.
Killing brews. You know, people like the taste of tequila.
Have you seen a shirtless Felger?
No.
Yet.
Where can I find one?
Do you think it's lame if somebody goes to a Pearl Jam show and does their fantasy football draft on their phone?
Yeah.
No.
Absolutely.
No?
No, because you know what, dude?
No,
you got to do your fantasy football.
You're at Fenway and you're at a Pearl Jam show, so you shouldn't be on football.
No. You got to do your fantasy football.
No, you're at Fenway. You should be completely focused on baseball. That's your ancillary activity.
And you got to see Pearl Jam. You got to do two things at once.
No.
Multitasking,
no.
Brother.
No, Pearl Jam's only once a year. I'm going to disagree with my boy Dean here. You know, fantasy's cool and all, but it's all about the love and the vibe, man.
I'm on that.
Gotta be out here for the culture.
Wow. Yeah, of course it is. Gross.
The love of the vibe?
Love and the vibe.
Okay. Man.
Now, this is what Pearl Jam have become. Is a bunch of wannabe 22-year-old hippies running around, feeling the love and the vibe.
The love and the vibe. And also, you know,
killing brews, smoking weed, getting ready, man, you know.
Do you think when Pearl Jam were putting the things together after Mother Love Bone, after Andrew Wood died, that they thought their audience was going to be sitting there saying about the love and the vibe?
A senior from UConn who drove up an entire day at Fenway.
By the way, somebody just tweeted and said, early in the show, Eddie Vedder said he didn't realize the weather in Boston could be so tropical, a.k.a. is it hot in here or what?
Yo, it's pretty hot in here. I mean, it's right. I think I'm going to have to take off my sequin vest.
It's truly Eddie Vedder or Paul Stanley.
Yeah.
Wait, you have tattoos. Well, what kind of tattoos do you have?
I got Jerry Garcia's palm print.
All right, yeah. Nick, you should have just taken his wallet away from him. Now, how did you get Jerry Garcia's palm print?
Well, he might explain that.
You let that guy touch you?
Yeah. You weren't a rack of ribs.
Well, maybe you had to dress up as like a big piece of fried chicken.
Or just like, he just had a shirt that said Golden Corral on it. He just couldn't help himself.
Or he hid in a Golden Corral.
Right? He had inside the Yumbo with trimmings.
Yes. He like was in the... He tried for like a couple hours to be in the vegetables, but then he never came by. Ew.
Wait, you have tattoos. Well, what kind of tattoos do you have?
I got Jerry Garcia's palm print. I got a stingray. I got the Gadsden snake.
Jerry Garcia put his hands right there while I was
right there,
up.
Yeah.
Really?
Is he pointing to his crotch?
No, because it didn't look like a hammock. He grabbed him by the cheeks because he was trying to pull the food out.
Yeah. You know what it was? Is that, like, he was like, yeah, kid, and he had barbecue sauce all over his hand. So he ran to the store to get it outlined.
I got a stingray. I got the Gadsden snake.
What's the Gadsden snake?
I don't know. I mean, do you want me to look it up? Is that steal your face?
It's probably something stupid with hippies.
I got the Gadsden snake.
Jerry Garcia put his hands right there while he was
right there,
up.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, no. That was disrespectful, honestly. Nah, Jerry.
So you got his handprint?
Yeah, absolutely, man. Jerry touched my life, and that's why I got him tattooed on my body. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, that's
hey,
nice.
Now.
So what kind of hat?
Hey, now.
Hey, now.
Hey, now.
Hey.
I guess this guy's 21 years old.
By the way, the Gadsden flag. I never knew this was called the Gadsden snake is the don't tread on me snake. I never knew it was called the Gadsden.
Oh, so he's a hippie that's really into the amnesty of Texas.
Yeah, it's the American Revolution flag.
Yeah, the Gadsden flag, the don't tread on me.
Oh, I thought that was the snake that was the Texas thing, don't tread on me. I don't know. What do I know?
Jerry touched my life, and that's why I got him tattooed on my body. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, that's
hey
nice.
Now.
So what kind of hat do you have?
I have a customized airbrush dead hat from Etsy.com.
Custom Steely.
What's your favorite?
Oh, really? Like where my wife shops for knickknacks?
What's Etsy? Did you find that on Pinterest, did you?
Yeah, Etsy is Pinterest, basically, right?
No, it's like people sell crafts. Like homemade crafts.
Yes.
You want a cell phone case with sparkles on it that has your name?
So Garcia never touched him. So it's just what he assumes to be Garcia's hand.
You heard it because he's touched my life in so many ways.
Yeah, but it's not his real hand.
I believe that's a four-finger hand, too. I think he missed one. I think he lost one.
Oh, it's a shame. Iommi made it into something great. Garcia just made it into blown into a jug.
What's your favorite Pearl Jam song?
Jeremy.
King Jeremy the Wicked, all rule his world, stuck in the middle with you.
That's not a Pearl Jam song.
I'm really excited for Arms Wide Open. That's one of my favorite songs.
That's not a Pearl Jam song. I believe that's Steeler's Wheel.
I believe you're correct.
Okay.
I think that's Steeler's Wheel.
Steeler's Wheel is a little green bag.
No, that is stuck in the middle with you.
Is it
Steeler's Wheel?
Oh, yeah. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Okay.
As of all time.
Arms Wide Open, stop.
No. Go back.
All right. Calm down. I got it.
I'm really excited for Arms Wide Open. That's one of my favorite songs of all time.
Arms Wide Open, stop.
Because then
3 a.m. is another favorite of mine.
All right, so these are super fans.
Obviously. By the way, the minute they said Jeremy was their favorite song, I was like, all right, dude, okay.
You lost your credibility. You went with a hit.
That guy who called up should be calling and yelling at this guy.
Yeah.
One from yesterday. Not a true fan.
Oh, no, I love 3 a.m.
Hell yeah, man.
How much weed have you smoked today?
Only like probably a gram and a half, maybe two. Usually I'm on number 10 and a couple blunts by now, but you know.
Why are you taking it so easy today?
It's because we were driving.
Well, that's responsible.
Oh, yeah.
Tell me what you're wearing right now.
I got the Alive t-shirt.
And you got the plaid shirt, too.
Hell yeah, man. Rock and flannel all day. Pearl Jam is the inspiration. They made me realize dudes with thick curly hair can still grow their shit out and be grunge as fuck. And from then on, you know, Tyler is who he is today.
Well, what was the temperature when it started?
I don't know, but it's pretty cool.
Flannel's always cool, you know?
It's pretty cool to dress like what Joey Lawrence at the thing.
Killing brews, smoking weed, getting ready, man, you know?
Mm-hmm, yep.
Oh, boy.
Arms Wide Open, stuff.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Oh, no, I love 3 a.m.
Hell yeah, man.
It is.
He loves Matchbox 20.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, you didn't see
him. Killing brews, smoking weed, getting ready, man, you know? I'm still alive. I got a stingray.
I have a customized airbrush dead hat.
Oh no, I love 3 a.m.
He loves 3 a.m., yes.
That's right.
He must be dreaming, yeah.
Dan Marino going to join us at 8:50.
Killing brews, smoking weed, getting ready, man, you know. Jerry Rabish.
The Sports Hub. Be listening tomorrow morning at 7:30 and 9:30 for your chance to score a pair of tickets to the Patriots season home opener against the Houston Texans this Sunday afternoon at Gillette Stadium. That's tomorrow morning at 7:30 and 9:30. Have you guys watched the Jersey? When was the last time you guys watched the Jersey Shore?
I mean, I saw the entire first season, and I did not watch the reunion, but I've seen it on in the background.
It might be one of the best shows of all time.
Well, the first season was amazing.
Well, now, first of all, like now my kids are watching it, too. And it's on Hulu. You can watch it. Don't bother with the city when they're in Italy. But no. Ronnie might cry more than any human being that's ever been on television, fictional or otherwise. Ronnie is just inconsistent because now they all got it together and they've kind of know how to play it.
Mm-hmm.
But Ronnie is an absolute disaster. And his kids getting taken away from him and like the girls banging into like the place in Vegas and yelling at him. It's like you start watching him and then you get pissed when it's over. You want to know what's going on. Jenny's married with kids. Snooki's married with kids. Now Dina couldn't participate in this one because she's pregnant. Didn't want to put herself in that environment. The situation is clean and sober, but he eats. That's the problem, is that he eats a lot.
And how's Paulie D?
DJ Paulie DelVecchio?
Yes.
He has a residency in Vegas.
He's the one guy that made it out of this, like doing very, very well for himself. He makes a ton of money DJing out there.
He has a residency.
Still making panties drop, huh?
Yeah.
He has a residency, I believe, at a place called, that might
Dre's?
Have been Miami. It was 11 in Miami is where he, last night of the show, DJ Paulie D makes the beat drop.
Ah.
And every song after song, banger after banger. That was the way it was described by Vinny, who tries to remain celibate during one of the seasons, but then is offered a three-way, which kind of goes sideways. And they have a room called the Smush Room, where there are no cameras allowed. And that's where you go to knock the boots.
That's where you go to smush.
Yeah, that's the smush room.
Okay.
And then they have family meals that the situation makes. Don't let J-Wow make them. She'll set it on fire.
So why is the new one? Because I didn't really have any desire to watch the new one because the reasons you just said is that everyone's kind of married and they're calmed down.
Yeah, but
they're all mining their...
Vinny and Paulie D kind of have the whole thing. But they're kind of boring.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the girls... First of all, the girls have had so much plastic surgery done to their faces. Mm-hmm. It's fantastic. Mm-hmm. I mean, every time they show one of them, it's hysterical. Like, they got, the worst lip implants of all time. It's just great. And they still go out and get hammered. One of the girls crapped herself because they keep bringing this one girl back that doesn't have a good relationship with J-Wow. And she went out drinking with him and she crapped herself. So there's still that.
Okay.
There's still good to be going on over there.
I had high hopes for Floribama Shore, the Jersey Shore kind of wannabe, except it being... Like in the South, like over near obviously Floribama, and
they're too aware.
Yeah,
it's like the real world after a certain point.
Right. It just got until they did the Vegas one, and then everyone was just such a wreck. It was entertaining.
Yeah,
the Vegas one's actually pretty good.
Well, the Vegas one had the one girl that was like sleeping with everybody.
She went crazy.
Yeah, she went nuts. It's strange that you don't hear about her anymore. I thought she was going to have a long career. No, Ronnie is the glue that keeps Jersey Shore together. Like, as much as you might know how to play Jersey Shore, Ronnie's got enough going on that you're pretty certain that if he's involved in something, it's going to be bad.
Just bring back Rock of Love or I Love New York.
Rock of Love has been recently viewed again by me. The first season of Rock of Love, no hyperbole, one of the best seasons of television of all time.
Oh, no, I'll agree. It was phenomenal, although it was not as good as I Love New York. As great as that was... I Love New York 1 and 2 were stupendous.
Well, the problem with I Love New York is it only had two great scenes, in my opinion. One is when New York is she's down to two guys, and she goes, what was the name of the guy who was one of the white stallions?
It was the Stallionaires. It was the Real and Chance.
She's like, but I just love Chance's thuggish way.
Yes, that was great.
That was one. And then when they had the little guy.
Midget Mac was
Midget
his name.
Mac, who couldn't swim. And they immediately put him in a challenge that involved swimming.
And he almost drowned.
Yes.
It was just like the meanest thing ever.
Yeah,
it was like,
well,
you can't swim, so our first challenge is you need to jump into this like inner tube in the middle of a lake.
It was kind of a lot less, I think there was, like they legitimately made that contest so Midget Mac would almost drown. Like they sat around and they're like, all right, Midget Mac doesn't swim, so let's just toss him in the water and see what gives.
I mean, it was just the worst.
The Stallionaires
were great.
They were from Kentucky, and there were these two guys that, like, rapped about how many, like, great horses they had.
And apparently they had a bunch of horses. They grew up like
they weren't, like, country. They were, like, a full-on, like, hip-hop group.
Yep. Stallionaires.
But instead of just diamonds and jewelry, like, they owned great steeds.
That's what made them the Stallionaires.
And then
I see a clip here called NY-Midget Gone, and I don't think I should play that.
Oh, come on.
Is this Midget Mac? Is this him being dismissed? Let's see.
Midget Mac, you're the biggest little man that I ever met. But right now, you're going through a lot of pain. And I just don't believe that you're able to give me the love that I'm looking for. I'm sorry, but you gotta go.
I'm sorry. I just want us to always be friends. And I'm feeling this. This was really hard for me to do.
Stay away from the pool.
Just know that, okay?
Right, don't make
and I know you know.
Stay away from bodies of water.
Don't make the very first thing you have to do. Jump in the water.
Midget Mac was a great kisser.
Okay. All right. I don't think that's
now,
the
New
most
York
politically
is the
correct
one,
name.
New York is the one who defecated on the stairs during...
I don't know if she. I don't know if she was that one, but she won Flavor of Love, or she was like first or second place when it was the Flavor Flav show. But she was such a star. They said, let's make it one about her. And remember, there was like Punk and 12 Pack and all those other guys.
And there was the white guy who picked his nose.
Oh, that
Boston.
Was Mr. Boston. Mr. Boston.
That was Mr. Boston.
Yeah.
He did not fare well.
No, Mr. he Boston. Didn't do well at all.
All right, did not cover himself in glory. All right, we will have to break, and then when we come back, hopefully Dan Marino will join us.
The games are only half.
Alphabet, Thatcher and Rich. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
98.5 The Sports Hub, where Thatcher and Rich. Have you heard of this Dan Marino fella?
He is a famous actor. Hmm? Known for his role in Ace Ventura, Pet Detective?
No, he is actually known as a football player. And he is currently working with the Miami Dolphins organization. Mr. Dan Marino, thank you for joining us, sir.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Good. Good morning. Good morning.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to be a mensch, and I'm going to ask you this right now, okay? Please ask Dan how he is feeling and if he thinks he could still play in the NFL.
Well, you know what? It's a great it's a great question because I'm feeling good, and because of Nutrisystem, that's why I can still play in the NFL.
Excellent.
So Nutrisystem has got you feeling very, very good.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I've been working with them for quite a few years now, and really, we're promoting the fact that it does make you feel good. I lost 22 pounds, and especially for men during football season. The football season obviously starts tomorrow night. Guys tend to gain weight from now until Super Bowl, and you know, it's really to be conscientious about it. And if you want to be on a diet, you know, the turbo shakes are always something great. And like I said, it does make you feel good. And for men, don't gain weight during a football season. You know, do Nutrisystem.
All right. So, Dan, obviously your story is well known, how you fell in the draft. And but you're over there in Pittsburgh, and you play at University of Pittsburgh, and things are a certain way back then. The town hasn't really turned around yet. It's still like, you know, real blue collar. And then you end up in Miami, in Miami in like the 80s.
Yeah.
What kind of culture shock was that for you?
Actually, it was pretty cool.
I would imagine very cool.
I think that goes without saying.
Yeah. But I guess the culture shock from, you know, looking at a river over the hill from my house to looking at the ocean is a big difference, you know, especially, you know, the rivers in Pittsburgh. But yeah, it was awesome back in the 80s. We had a lot of success, you know, with the Orange Bowl. It was a good time. That was the whole Miami Vice time and all that stuff going on.
Now, were you on Miami Vice?
No, I never did Miami Vice.
All right.
Yeah, did it.
All right, but they couldn't
afford me. They were paying Don Johnson all the money.
Well, Tubbs, in fact, was equal
Tubbs,
pay.
Okay, it was Tubbs, whoever.
Because it seems like they could, you know, remember Zubas? They seemed to put you in Zubas whenever they got the chance.
Yeah, I did some Zubas back in the day in front of that Corvette right on the beach. I remember that one.
Was it, matter of fact, I believe that poster said Armed and Dangerous. I think a young Rich certainly might have had that.
See, you have done a lot of research.
Actually, none. I'm just reflecting back to my youth.
You were everywhere.
I'm just going to believe you because I can't remember that. I remember the picture in the Corvette. I don't remember what the hell it said.
Oh, yeah. It was Armed and Dangerous.
But you're a rock star in Miami at the height of Miami. I mean, so everywhere you go, would you trade that for anything right now? Or I know the money was different, but that had to be the place to be at the exact right time.
It was, let's just say it was a lot of fun. There's no doubt about it. And to be able to play football there, like I said, and with the success we had, it was pretty awesome. Definitely. It was different than Pittsburgh. Let's put it that way.
All right. So with you out of the game right now, but you have such close ties, obviously, and then there's a, you know, your heart is with the Miami Dolphins. Does it just piss you off what the Patriots have done over the last 16 or so years, where it's just the AFC East is theirs for the taking?
Let's just say that I respect what they've been able to do, because just as a football guy and understanding, you know, how hard it is to play at that high level all the time. Now, you know, there's always the rivalry between the Dolphins way back in the day when I played, still today, obviously, the AFC East. And but to me, there's the respect factor because of how they've done it for so many years consistently, because I know how hard it is and how hard it is to get, you know, to get the Super Bowl. It's how hard it is to win divisions consistently. But I do, you know, there is a competitive factor there. So I'm not going to say piss me off, but, you know, there's the competitive factor.
Okay, when you look at a team like Jacksonville and Jalen Ramsey, their defense obviously is the alpha of that team, and the offense, and he said it himself, is kind of just managing games. The opposite was true when you were playing, is you had this electric offense, but maybe sometimes a suspect defense. How
frustrating was that for you?
You know, it's about doing your job and playing at the level you need to play at. And at times we had defenses that were plenty good enough for us to get to a Super Bowl and win a Super Bowl. And at times maybe it wasn't. That's part of it. But I would say that it wasn't frustrating to the point where, you know, that you got to make it something. You know, you just go out, you play your game, you do your job, you're there to win games, be competitive as you can be. So, you know, it makes me frustrated that guys get frustrated because of that, because it is a team game.
Yeah, so there was never any acrimony between the defense and the offense?
No, I wouldn't say so. No, not at all. We were a team. That's what makes football a great game.
With Shula, did he have a lot to do with that?
With what?
With just the camaraderie in the locker room and the fact that that never became a problem.
Yeah, I think it could be, you know, the head coach. Yeah, but I think it's just the players in general and if they respect each other in that way.
Now, Dan, if you were if you were playing and you were in a situation like Tom Brady's in right now, where you take a look at the depth chart at receiver, and I mean, you've got Chris Hogan and then a bunch of guys that aren't Julian Edelman for the first 4 weeks because of his suspension, would you be upset that the organization didn't do more to get you some more weapons?
Well, I would look at it this way. Just turn it around and look at it the other way. Tom Brady has played at the highest level you can play at that position his entire career, and, you know, the best quarterback as far as anything that's been accomplished as far as winning, you know, games and all that. So I think Tom would not be upset. Tom's attitude would be, hey, this is what I got to work with. This is who my players are. We're going to go out and win games. And that, I mean, believe me, that when I tell you to play the level he's played at, that's the mindset you got to have.
You have one of the most famous plays in football history facing the Jets. What's going on with the Jets just in terms of the last three decades?
Well, I mean, it's you know, like anything, like I said it earlier, that's why, you know, I've respected the, you know, the Patriots so much and how they've been able to win each and every year and at the high level they've been able to play. So you know how hard it is. So it's been hard. And I think the fact that, you know, and it's always, you know, it's the quarterback position and somewhat they've been inconsistent at that position. So that's factors in a big way.
All right, Dan. Well, we've got to wrap this up pretty soon, but I do have to ask you a question we've been asking all of our athlete friends who've come on with us. Who was the grossest teammate that you ever played with?
Oh, man. Oh, wow. The grossest teammate I ever played with.
Because Izzo is unanimously the grossest Patriot.
Yeah. Right. The
hands
stories
down
of him.
By far.
You know what? Now that I think about that, yes, it's definitely, you know, Izzo came in as a Dolphin. He was a rookie when Jimmy came in. And he did some pretty gross stuff. Yeah. And he did it for money, too.
I need one example, Dan. Just one example of something he did for money that was disgusting.
So for entertainment, sometimes I would, you know, put up $100 to see who could eat the mayonnaise and mustard bowl as quickly as possible. And Larry Izzo used to jump right in on that all the time, and he'd win. Then he'd go down, win, and then run down and throw up.
Did you ever see
entertainment purposes for a group? It's always fun.
Did he ever dine while on the while in the bathroom? That was a big thing he did with the Patriots.
I don't recall that. And if I did, I can't. I don't even want to think about it.
We're hearing egg sandwiches. He would just bring them in there and crush them while...
Okay, so...
Oh, my God.
So Izzo was your Huckleberry, basically. He was,
yeah, there you go.
He was the guy that would do what you needed to do. All right, Dan Marino.
Take care, man.
Nutrisystem for Men. Thank you so much for the time.
Thank you, guys. All right, have a great day.
Thanks, man.
Appreciate it.
You know how gross of a human being you have to be if, like, almost every, like, even, it's like the stuff that Izzo has done has become legend.
Here, Izzo, eat this mayonnaise.
Just eat this bowl of mayonnaise. God. We'll give you $100.
Oh, man.
See, I wanted him so badly just to start to talk about, like, being in... wearing Zubas and driving a Corvette around Miami.
Oh, sure. Well, I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of stuff that he likes to protect. Can you imagine if back in the day, like, cell phones were around when these guys used to play? I mean, you heard stories about, a ton of these dudes from, like, you know, 80s football. And, well, I mean, we know, you know, basketball. My God,
Michael
Jordan.
Well, dude, the Steelers did a ton of blow with a big cocaine kingpin before the day before a Super Bowl.
How about the Dallas Cowboys? The stuff you've heard about those guys back in the day. I mean,
yeah.
Dallas Cowboys might be the one that would get in the most trouble.
The White House,
the Steelers,
right?
You know, the White House. I mean, that, yeah. you think about
You're
that.
You're talking about Oakland or Pittsburgh?
Pittsburgh.
Oh, it was Pittsburgh.
It was Pittsburgh.
I thought it was Oakland.
Well, no, Oakland is the story I've told you guys many times.
That was Matuszak, right?
Matuszak saw Dr. The guy from Sports Illustrated who was there forever. And
Zimmerman.
Dr. Z.
Dr. Z.
And Dr. Z and him were friends. And so Dr. Z talks to him the night before the Super Bowl and, like, drinks with him for, like, an hour. And night turns into day. Dr. Z goes home. Oakland wins the championship, and Matuszak comes up to Dr. Z, and he says, "Hey, where you been all week?"
Those guys were nuts.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
you said Pittsburgh. Okay. I'm thinking Oakland.
No, Pittsburgh, if you watch Cocaine Cowboys, there's pictures, like pictures of them doing blow like before the Super Bowl in Miami.
If you could go back in time and pick any team during any era that you could have video evidence of all the things that they did, like social media type video, like who would you choose?
It would be the Cowboys.
It'd have to be the Cowboys.
It would have with Hale, all the stuff that Hale was accused of. Oh, absolutely.
That would have to be the one.
Oh, yeah.
Marina, why don't you just give me one story? Of being rocking Zubas and cruising.
Like listening to Smuggler's Blues.
Just cruising down A1A with the top down.
Oh, yes, indeed. Okay. All right. No commercials here, just the headlines.